and not talk after that hymn. That really said everything that I have to say. What a marvelous hymn. What happened at the cross? We have been considering that tonight. This is Good Friday. It's good because the best that could be accomplished for us was accomplished tonight, 2,000 years ago, at the hill called Calvary. What happened? Well, we know that Jesus died, that he was betrayed, that he was condemned unjustly, that he was delivered over to the hands of godless men, that they nailed him to a cross, that he suffered and died, that he was blasphemed, that he was then buried, and we know that we will celebrate his resurrection on Sunday, which is the Lord's Day, which is not coincidentally, but why we meet on Sunday to worship him. We know he died. I don't need to go prove that for you. All the Gospels attest to it. Paul declares that that's part of the Gospel, that that is key to the Gospel, and that that is in accordance with prophecy, with Old Testament Scripture. He mentions that in 1 Corinthians 15. But what happened at the cross? It wasn't just that an innocent man died. What happened at the cross was the full atonement for our sin. In Hebrews 10, Scripture says this, "For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, not the very form of the things, can never by the same sacrifices which they make continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sin? But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he," that's the Lord Jesus, "comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.'" After saying above, "Sacrifices and sins and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law," then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He takes away the first in order to establish the second. "By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." The offering of the Lord Jesus, him offering up himself, secured salvation once for all time for those who believe in him. Verse 14 also says, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." What the Lord Jesus did on the cross was fully pay the penalty for sin in our place. Perhaps no statement in Scripture says it as clearly, and what was even quoted in that hymn that we just sang, as 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "He made him," that is God made the Lord Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This is the great exchange. What happened at the cross? Jesus was hung there unjustly. What happened at the cross? He paid the penalty for sin by having God the Father consider him as us, as our sin, so that the Lord God Almighty as it were, took our sin and placed it upon his Son and crushed him. And the Lord, God Almighty, took the righteousness of his Son, which his Son had displayed in his entire life, even up to that act in being obedient to his Father's will to go to the cross, he took that righteousness and he placed it on us. What happened at the cross? Our salvation. Isaiah 53, that famous passage, which we have to consider, we have to think about, says it this way, which is so familiar to us. Surely, our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And Peter, when he writes his first epistle, alludes to that passage of Scripture when he considers the Lord Jesus in chapter 2, and he says, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Jesus, the innocent one, the one who was perfectly righteous, the only one since Adam, and the only one even to today who has not deserved death, was killed for us. He died for us. He also died to show the love of God for us. God showed his love for sinners. That's what happened at the cross. Jesus was crucified. Jesus paid the penalty for sin. And God showed his love for sinners. In Romans 5, verse 8, it says this, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came, the incarnate Lord. He lived his whole life with the view of going to the cross to accomplish salvation for sinners. And he did it, purchasing salvation for many of the ones who were hurling abuse at him. It's been said by many Christians as they consider the disciples and as they consider the crowds that they wouldn't just be those, if we were honest with ourselves, we wouldn't just be those who ran away and deserted the Lord, but if we were honest with ourselves, we'd be the ones in the crowd hurling abuse and insults and blaspheming the Lord if we were there at that time. And yet, as sinful as we are, God set his love upon us. And Christ came with a view to accomplishing our salvation. 1 John chapter 4 makes this clear. It demonstrates the love of God for us. When he says in 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What happened at the cross? Jesus was crucified. He paid the penalty for sin. God proclaimed his love for sinners. And so, as we would consider the cross tonight, I would urge you to recognize that salvation is in no other name but the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a curse for us, Paul says in Galatians, so that he might take away the curse which is upon us. In Romans 10, verse 9, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I know I look at a room full of believers, but I also would be remiss to not recognize that in every group there are those who have not yet bowed the knee to Christ. And I would urge you to consider the sacrifice of Christ. In Acts 17, Paul makes it clear as he's proclaiming to the Athenians on Mars Hill that God is commanding all men everywhere to repent and to believe. The disciples, when they're speaking to the chief priests in Acts 4, they say that there's salvation in no other name. The Lord Jesus fully secured salvation for you if you will have him, if you believe in him. He paid the penalty of the law to secure your salvation. Under the law, we are condemned to death. Christ Jesus died that penalty. And now the gospel is proclaimed. Believe and find forgiveness for your sins in the fully sufficient and finished, once for all time, perfect atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, how marvelous it is that we can be in this room as those whom you've set your love upon. Lord, if there are those here who do not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they would not come to know you as their judge, but that you would save them. Open our eyes, Lord. Impress upon all of us afresh the joy, the wonder, the beauty of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for paying the penalty which we deserve and providing salvation for us through what you accomplished on the cross. We praise you. Equip us to worship you for the time remaining. And in your name we pray this. Amen.